Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back, Ranchers, to the Lucky Die. Previously, Laffian heals an eye of Grunch, Rao requires rest, Squash advocates ending Daychen, and Zoltana stares into the well. As the team leave the cave, they rush headfirst into danger to rescue Hester from a large, armored, worm-like creature. And returning back to the ranch to rest, they each make use of the well to check in on their enemies and their loved ones. Zoltana confirmed her bad feeling, however, when they learn that Daychen has Damas imprisoned in a gem. Where did Thistle go? Will Kythea be okay? And what is Daychen doing with Damas? I guess we're about to find out. Welcome back to the Lucky Die.
Rolls around. Everyone has managed to have their long rests. Everyone's managed to chill out overnight. Everyone's managed to heal back, gain back whatever spell slots we've agreed you can, or resources we've agreed to rolling back. Ral, how did your morning check go? Did you take your effing potion?
So what happens if I don't take that potion?
You have to roll.
Take your medicine, Ral.
No.
Yes. All right. If you're refusing to take your medication, what did you roll?
It's a 4.
Yep, you're totally fine. You managed to make it through. Your exhaustions have cleared up. Any resources that anybody's lost, you've now gained back all the good benefits of a long rest, with the exception of Squash, who still has rot from the fight previously, which means you can't heal. And we basically finagled that you could use your level 3 spell slots from today, last night, when you were looking at the well. So you don't have those. Basically, wherever and however you wish to wake up, there is plenty to eat, there is plenty to drink. It is all vegetarian, that's the only thing that Hester will offer. But he sounds like he's up and about already early, fixing some of the holes in the wall that Zoltana punched. you know, kind of dealing with the grain issue, fixing those up. And he seems to be getting some extra mounts and horses ready for your up to 3-day travel. What do the four of you want to do before we take off?
Did we level up?
Importantly, Tio hasn't come back, and no, you have not leveled up.
What about now?
No. So no leveling up, I'm afraid. That is currently not your, not on the cards for this morning. So what do the four of you want to do? Is level there anything up. You want to do before you take off? No, you can't level up.
Yes, I do. I want to remove the curse from my good friend, Squash.
Yes, I will accept remove curse. I assume that you replaced one of your spells, because that's not a normal spell for Zoltana, right?
I did. I replaced Crusader's Mantle, because I never use it, so.
All right, cool. I'm not saying that remove curse will be more useful than Crusader's Mantle, but you might not want to change that for a little bit.
That sounds like a thinly veiled
inside
threat.
Inside information from the DM.
You definitely have it today, but if Crusader's Mantle is absolutely useless as your friend, I'm suggesting you don't change back
my
to that.
My godly senses are tingling.
I'm just saying, I really haven't used it since. I also don't use Aura of Vitality a lot, because I already have an aura that I have, like, automatically. Yeah. So I might think about replacing that too.
You but can stack replace those.
Well, an Aura of Vitality I think is more useful because I can heal with it.
Alright, cool. How does it look when you cure Squash of this rot? What's this look like?
So, I'll posit that Squash probably has open leashes and wounds, like where he got cut and hurt, it just looks like it's not closing over, so he's probably messing around with bandages at the time.
And also it's bioluminescent, because that's all the shit that was down there. You glow in the dark.
So Squash has wounds, and the wounds that he has, you can see as he's like wrapping like bandages around it, they can kind of like glow through the wrappings.
Negative stealth.
I have an idea for how it looks, but it's gross.
Oh, God.
So let's just say it looks really gross, and I won't make the listeners listen to my description of how gross it looks. Just whatever.
Is it kind of like
the most gross. Use your imaginations of a really gross way for festering wounds to close up.
So is this a bit like Reservoir Dogs, where it just like the camera turns to one side and then it comes back again, and whatever has happened has happened.
You definitely hear a squelching noise.
As a substitute for the gross description, go watch The Thing.
Excellent suggestion. As always, John Carpenter's The Thing, one of the greatest movies of all time.
And if you were thinking that we were talking about any other movie than the John Carpenter The Thing, you are very wrong.
If you thought we were talking about the Canadian movie Things, why? Also, if you've watched that movie, message me, because nobody's watched that movie, and we should probably be friends.
I feel like I've watched that.
We may well have.
It's not a good movie. I fell asleep halfway through it, actually. So.
All right. So we wake up, the camera pans outside, we hear some squelching as we watch Hester get some of his mounts ready for the travel, and we come back and Squash is cured.
Hurrah!
Perfect. Huzzah! You still can't be healed. You haven't been healed, sorry.
Thank you.
Long rest, that's just... You still are missing some hit points today until you get your next long rest or a short rest. Outside, when you go out to kind of the yard area, you see that Hester has three taller mounts, one obviously for himself, one for Raoul, and one for Laffian. And you also notice that he has, hang on a minute, you also notice that he has a slightly smaller donkey looking creature, which is clearly been packed up with supplies, and there's barely any room for a squash, but you would assume that is Squash's mount. Yes, Raal, I see your hand waving.
I can't ride a horse.
I remember. And last time he told you that the mount he would provide with you would basically, you just need to hold on and it will look after you.
That one died.
Yes, this is a different one that will be slightly more difficult to handle, but you should be fine. I think he can do that thing. I don't know if this is real. I don't know if this is movie magic, but it's the reins thing. So he'll basically have your horse rein to his, like a training horse, so you can be behind him.
I'm pretty sure that's a thing.
Yeah, I think that's real. I don't think I'm making that up. But if I am making that up, it's magic, and that's how this works here. Each of you is basically given a mount, with the exception of Zoltano, who has Electo. And he's not going to stand between a goddess and her goddess-given mount. So, damn, is there right. Anything else anyone wants to do before we take off? This may be the last proper rest point you're going to have before we go.
Level up.
Probably ask Hester if we can perhaps restock on rations of some sort in case if you suddenly decide we need to track that again.
You should be tracking that.
I mean, yes, that thing that I have been tracking very well.
Well, I'm down to 5.
I also definitely know how many I have.
I'm down to 5, so I would appreciate more. Because we're in an inhospitable land, and I don't think Squash can pick out the poison mushrooms from the non-poison ones.
I guess it would be cactus, because you're kind of in a desert area. He gives you, like... Roll 2d6 on me.
Me?
Yep. This determines how many extra rations everyone gets, with the exception of Squash.
What? This guy.
Amazing. 5.
Okay. Everyone with the exception of Squash gains 5 sets of rations.
How many does Squash get?
You get 2.
Ooh, okay. Hey, that worked.
I was just going to give you whichever was the lowest number on the die.
Jerk. Squash is sitting there with a bowl. Please, sir, I want some more. And then Hester just, you want some what?
You want what now, Pa? No.
More?
No.
Sorry. I couldn't resist.
All right. You have rations. So, y'all take off across the desert. Let me bring on my notes. Yes.
There is before we leave.
Yes.
Squaw is going to casually bring up the fact that while he is not cursed anymore, he is still quite hurt.
That's
what are you bringing
buddy.
It up to?
Could either one of you pass a little bit of magical healing this way? Because I'm actually hurt quite bad from that fight. And to make it more meta-wise, I have less than 50% of my health. Like almost like 49%, basically.
So, Zoltana,
you want to split the bill?
Yeah. Really quickly, what you're saying is when you get this feeling, you need magical healing.
Supernatural healing. I don't like to ascribe magic to it. Magic
there's
is a very specific
name.
Thing.
Anyway, okay.
All right.
Sorry.
Yes, it's, yes, I will help. I will help, even though you ignored my Lionel Richie reference.
I'm not ignoring. I was adding humor to your reference, you weirdo. This isn't a Marvel movie. We can't just make random references and assume people are going to laugh. We also have to be funny.
Nah. If Joss Whedon can make references and assume people will think it's funny, so can I.
Casey, you're not Joss Whedon. You need to let it go.
Thank God. Thank God.
I'm not Joss Whedon. I'm peaking my mic so bad.
Anyway, sorry, I'm tired, so I'm in a silly, goofy mood. Yes, I will heal. I will do heal. Hold on.
You get a pat on the shoulder from Laffian and 32 HP restored.
All right.
Damn.
I think I'm missing, let me see, after I add 32, I am, oh, of course, 32?
Uh-huh.
50, 60, 70, 80, 92. Oh, shit. That's a lot.
Is it?
Yeah, I only have 100 health, so like...
What the how do I have more than you?
Buddy,
just calm super low.
How? Do you still need some heals?
No, that was almost full up. I'm missing 23 health now.
I give you... Wait, we had a long rest. Oh, wait, that's right. You couldn't.
He was
I'll
cursed,
give you 23 health.
Exactly. Thank you.
From lay on hand.
Wow.
I'm going to put my hands... All right, my hands on your shoulders, look you in the eye and go, be healed.
I am, thank you. That's quite impressive, Sultana.
I know, I'm very impressive, right. Actually.
I did more. Yes, you did, and we're all proud of you.
Hester shakes his head, kind of clambers up onto his horse, and he leads the way. All right, Hester leads the way away from the ranch, deciding that this frivolity was far too much this early in the morning. and you each make your way in the direction that you saw Tio flying. He does warn you from the start that you need to be quiet. He also tells you that it will be maybe 3 days, even on horse, to get to where you're going. He warns you that it will be some time. Probably a couple of hours after traveling, kind of very quietly in this kind of small little group close together, with Hester basically like training reins on Rao's mount so Rao doesn't have to do anything strenuous, at least currently. That would change if y'all get into combat, but right now you're good. Laffian, you hear a familiar voice in the back of your head. The sound is like someone's holding a record, so it's slowing down. You can tell there's some definite time distortion on that. And you hear Monarch, and he says, we managed to talk with Ama. She and the other Dragonborn are waiting to clear out one of Daechin's lairs. Lisbeth and I will join her when they get the signal to go. They're distracting. Someone is distracting Daechin. And that may be a day or two before that pans out. How are things where you are?
Progressing at a pace.
Horsing around.
We've... No, we already did the horsing around. That was a long time ago. We've managed to clear another trial. Now we're trying to recruit the army of Bellum. Nobody's dead. Yet.
He's about to say, that's a good start, and it kind of slow-mos over the top and then stops when you said yet.
That's good. Take a lot of care. Dying on a plane of after death. Elizabeth warns that this could be very rough. Is there anything we can do here while you're gone? Do you know how long you might be?
It's a 3-day journey for us to get to this place that we're traveling to. I'm not sure quite what the time change would be for you. Beyond that, help-wise, just try to hold things down so that we don't have to worry so much.
Is the monarch conversation completely mental, or is it out loud?
Yeah.
Mental.
Completely mental. All right.
You'd probably see that Laffian looks like he's hardcore dissociating.
Like the horse is like drifting.
That's not unusual. Horse
is just like, lucky.
I have to be here.
He says, we'll do what we can and we'll make sure that the people that the four of you care about are looked after. If we engage with Daechin, we'll let you know.
If you engage with Daechin, please give him the biggest of migraines for me.
Tell him before and I said, fuck you.
Of course. From what we understand, whatever plan that Emil is a part of, they're ready to implement that when the opportunity arises. Well, let us know when you return, and good luck.
You as well.
And you feel his presence kind of go.
The party you are trying to reach is no longer alive.
You've completed your prepaid minutes. Please pay more. Yeah, that's kind of the major thing that happens first thing in the morning.
Okay. He'll convey that to the rest of the party just as a heads up. Like, so, bit of good news at least. Well, not negative news. Not sure how else to phrase it. Monarch just got back to me. At least we are covered for the material plane, I think. Him and Liz are going to be assisting with Aima and all the Dragonborn. They're going to be giving Daechin a very nasty surprise.
That's good.
They'll make sure that the ones we care about are safe. Until we return, anyways.
You guys sure that's a good idea? I mean, I know there's a lot of them, but Daechin is very dangerous.
I was told that somebody is apparently distracting Daechin. I don't know what that entails. Monarch was very vague, but anybody probably that's doing that has my respect.
Probably has something to do with Shill from... Well, I'm going to be quiet now in case there are ears everywhere. I'm just realizing how dumb I am.
Let's hope it wasn't Damas. Because Damas isn't doing a distracting job.
Well, no, because right Marnak knows that Damas is...
Yeah.
We're going to be fine.
It's not Damas.
We'll go to the vortex. We'll get all of our business here taken care of. And then from there, we can take our next steps to make sure that this is not an ongoing issue. We've got this. We're fine. We've made it this far.
As you're talking and conveying the information, Hester says, Daechin, you'll need to go back and fight him.
At some point, probably. Well,
actually, it sounds like we might not.
True, we might not need to. We do have other powerful friends, and Emil is just about ready with their plan, so... Sorry, Daechin is a piece of the Blissful Eclipse.
I know who and what he is.
Okay, sorry, I wasn't sure how filled in you were.
Fair.
Why do you care about Daechin?
He's an asshole.
No, I get that most people don't like him once they know what he is, but why do you specifically care about Daechin, Hester?
Daechin has been pulling the strings of a lot of people that I care about. I might be dead, but his name appears too often to be coincidence.
Welcome to the club.
He has threatened the lives of the gods, including mine.
Makes sense. I don't know. You seem so... carefree about almost everything except your farm.
kind of assumed that your care kind of ended at its borders.
For the most part, you are not wrong. I like to be who I am, and I like to be left alone. But I swore a vow to my god. There are many who would say that my devotion should end at death. I disagree.
Fair.
Squash, you need to be nicer to dead people.
I am.
That was super nice. No, that was really fucking rude, Squash.
What was that rude? I was inquiring about his interests. That's called engaging with people.
No, he opened up to you just the slightest bit, and then you took a fucking knife and stuck it in the wound. Like, that's rude.
I can't find a fault in that logic. I thought I was being polite by engaging.
It is polite to engage, but then when they start opening themselves up, you don't come back with the, oh, well, I thought, no, you sympathize. You sympathize, Squash. Sympathize. I'm going to keep saying this word until it becomes part of your vocabulary. Sympathize, Squash.
Squash looks over at Hester, then looks back at Laffy and just like, I don't think he cares.
It's not.
It's just like shaking his head. Like he can hear this, but he's pretending not to. And at one point, he's like, "Well, this is really."
It's not just about whether or not. It's not about whether they always care. It's about the fact that it's just the right thing to do. Squash. Polite.
Fine. Then you engage with him next time.
Hester hasn't been very polite to Squash this whole trip because of the whole thing. So, I mean.
No, Squash is riding a donkey filled mostly with thighs. It is not a comfortable trip.
Hester should be glad I have left my thieving ways behind, or else that donkey would be five times lighter by this point. Squash, where are all the supplies?
Squash, why is there something weirdly hard in your shirt again?
Excuse me?
I robbed Sultana again?
That would be the worst thing you could do.
You what? Bro.
Sultana, no! I'm trying to get out of different trouble. Don't get me into trouble with you now.
Oh, don't make me laugh, Sultana.
I wasn't paying attention to what was happening as Sultana because I was... I was, but Sultana wasn't.
We're fourth wall joking around.
Yeah. you may be fourth wall joking, but Hester is ridden somewhat ahead of you guys, and Rao's just like being pulled along as he goes.
No way, he's kidnapping our monk. Stop him.
Zoltana's definitely actually riding by Hester and not paying attention to what is happening with Squash and Laffian right now.
Sorry, I almost forgot. I wanted to ask you, V, when we woke up in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
On this day, since I was relaying the information on the, you know, everything that happened and all that, this, that, and the other, and trying to be motivational, could I hypothetically have given us the inspiring leader?
Yeah. Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, why not?
Perfect. All right.
Are you including Hester and the horses in this?
Six friendly creatures. So that would be myself, and that's four. Hester would be five. Hester, who's your favorite of the horses?
The horse that he basically rode out on is the same horse that he was fighting side by side with.
That one.
Yeah.
Also my donkey?
No. That's six. That is six.
Oh, right.
The four of us, Hester and his horse.
How about not doing Hester and doing my donkey?
No. The only ass I see right now is Squash.
Damn.
Well, if you want to close
for this episode, the tagline for the episode, the only ass I see is Squash. towards the end of this particular day, Hester, it's not like it really gets dark here. It's not going to be like, and it's pitch black and you're going to see anything. No, it's always going to be that like tinge of red. It just gets darker. As you kind of hit towards, like, when this kind of, like, twilight time is hitting, Hester says,
do you wish to continue through the night, or would you prefer that we stop for the evening?
What's safer?
It would... There are dangers to traveling in what you would think of as night. But I am also aware that this battle you are facing, you should probably be there. They will cope without you, no doubt. But I would prefer the people I care about. They are not without help.
I don't know how much time we're gaining by riding through the night, but any time save would be appreciated. We've already spent a surprising amount of time in Bellum. Now, traveling to and back from the portal took a surprising amount of time, and the portal itself was almost an entire day.
There is...
And he, like, at this point, he has, like, stopped the horses, and he's kind of, like, stroking his chin, and he says,
there is an option. It is not the safest, and it is half a day detour. But if we get there, and they are amenable to our plight, we could save ourselves a day and a half of travel.
That's half the trip.
Yes. But if they are not amenable, it is another day on top of our trip.
I think knocking a day and a half off is worth the risk. But that's just me.
Who are these people that you speak of? Or rather, I guess I should ask, what of our plight do you think would be of interest to them that they would assist us?
They would not be interested in your plight at all. But we could negotiate and trade. Specifically what they would want from you, I do not know. But I could offer them help here. Perhaps they would ask for something small. They are creatures of chaos and whimsy. Perhaps they would only ask for a shoe or a potato. But perhaps they would ask that you carry with them a creature, or that you offer the soul of your firstborn. They are creatures of whimsy. And should they decide, they still might even attack before we get to ask.
I'm not sure that's worth the risk. I leave it up to the group, though. It's not my decision. I'm not sure for myself that we should be taking a gamble on things that are chaotic as you describe. Not when so much is on the line already.
Many things here in Bellum, they are chaos.
I think, if I may put it like this, if we gain a day and a half, that might mean we get to join in on the Dajin fight, but if we lose a day, I don't feel like we're losing much. I have a feeling that the Dajin fight is going down in the next day or so. So if we're 2-3 days out, 3-4 days out, matters less in my mind. But I'm making assumptions about timelines here that we do not know for a fact. I have a feeling it might be worth it. And I have a feeling that us being there to help with the Dajin fight might be worth paying a price for. But that's my vote. And I understand that I'm probably repeating myself again about Dajin.
And what if we get there and we cannot convince them in a single day? We don't know what we have to do when we get there.
Assuming they don't attack us on sight or ask for something unreasonable.
Then a day is added to our travels. I don't know.
Sultana?
Sultana, what do you think?
I agree with Squash.
I don't know what all I have to trade. I'm not sure you give them things the same as like specters. So you have to have the things, yes?
Yes. They could ask for a promise. They could. I've heard once they ask for a poem.
Let me ask you this. How... To some degree, you've seen us fight already, and you, I assume, are at least somewhat aware, at least, of our capabilities. How likely do you think we could survive an encounter if they did attack us?
I think you would probably be able to destroy them. But there would probably be lasting damage.
Permanent.
And if I have to... possibly. It is dangerous. They are powerful. But if I have to give this version of myself, I will, to make sure that you make it there in time. Or you make it there at all. I did not bring it up before because it is wild and it is dangerous. But if there are people who are distracting Daichin, what and how are they doing that, and are they alone?
Not sure.
Come on, guys. What can they really ask for that we wouldn't be able to give up, that is not literally our lives or the sentinel pieces?
My lungs. My liver. I need those.
I'm going to file those under life light and say that fits that category.
I think it would be okay if we go then.
Then we are just as much danger if we travel now or if we travel in the morning.
As long as we're not too exhausted to be able to hold our own.
He throws like a sideways glance at Scorch, who's only just got healed this morning, and looks back at the rest and he says, "No, you all look refreshed and fine to me."
Throwing shade.
Shade. Okay. He takes off. He seems to be spurring the horses, and he seems to be spurring his horses on faster. They don't seem to be responding to your touches or your guides as much as you would want, with the exception of Electo, who will only ever answer to Sultana. They are traveling very, very quickly. They seem to be following some silent communication with Hector, including the donkey. They just go. You see rock formations and he kind of passes around them quickly. You go through patches of cacti which are so close to you that you swear you can almost feel them snagging at your hair and at your clothes as you pass. But the horses, they're going off their own will. As you travel in the direction that he is going, as you get closer and closer to it after an hour or so, you notice that the ground becomes harder, less sandy, almost like rock. You notice the cactuses around you are changing shape and changing colour. And then you realise they are literally changing shape as you look at them. They're changing colours. They seem to be moving as if they have some sort of sentience of their own. The air around you becomes refreshing, like the desert at night, kind of cool, but it's not how that should be here. You notice that above you there are clouds and they seem to be swirling, and you seem to be heading right to the center of this. As he brings the horses slowly to a stop, probably, let's say, roughly midnight on day 129, so it will be 129 by the time we finish this day,
you find yourself staring at what looks like a temple, completely isolated in the middle of this empty desert area. The stone ground beneath you are now rocks that have been carved and cut and placed. There are pillars that are well built and carved with different runes all around this in seemingly an odd pattern. For those of you who are sharp-eyed or sharp of investigation. You notice that the stone. Thank you. You notice that the stones on the grounds, they're not all the same color. And as you kind of piece it together, you realize that you're riding over a large magical spell. You don't feel anything. You don't sense anything. But that's what the stones are telling you. The temple itself has many columns. There are no walls, just columns holding up this large single sheet of rock that's this kind of dark bluish color. The floor itself is of a similar color. You see that there is a small table in the middle of this temple. You can see it from a fair distance off. And there are two people sitting there. Their hair is long, as if it's massively overgrown, one of them even touching the floor. They're humanoid, kind of 6 feet tall, maybe 5.5, not really sure. One of them has a very long, long grey beard, which is matted and filled with twigs. The other, her hair is just exceptionally long. And as you approach, as you feel the horses slowing next to you, or underneath you, rather, you notice that there are what looks like cobwebs all around them, as if they themselves have not moved. And on the table, there is a place setting in front of each of them, a plate, a knife, and a fork, candelabra in the middle, dishes of some food that is long gone by now. They are sitting at either end of the table, which is big enough to seat, let's say 10, because they don't have to tell you how long the table is. That is what you see as you approach.
Hester, you made it sound like you've interacted with these guys before. Have you?
You see him kind of like roll his eye and then look over in your direction, and he says, "It has been a very long time. I came here when I first arrived. Hope that they could get me somewhere not here."
Is there, how do you say this? Is there a way we do this, or do we just need to approach and whatever they do, they do?
I would not say that there is a right way to approach them. There's definitely a wrong way.
What would that be?
He looks at your crossbow, just half smiles.
Squash is going to store any visible weapons into his backpack. I will happily take it as an action to get them out, to put them this much out of the way.
Yeah, that seems fair.
It's going to be that scene in Pirates of the Caribbean, fucking pulling weapons out everywhere, dropping that shit on the counter.
There's so many knives in my coat. I even have my old cloak back, my wandering cloak. There's so many knives in that one.
There are shit.
Squash just like pulls out a kunai.
All,
is like,
minus one daggers.
Don't know where I got that from.
I don't know where I got half of this stuff from.
Pulls out a shuriken. What the fuck is that? Throws that away.
Yeah. Squash is gonna, like, store away all his weapons so that they are visibly not, like, visible. So they are not visible.
Squash is concealed carrying. We got it.
Yes, that's fine.
And then, like, once we're, like, at the steps of the temple,
Or at least, like, as close as Hester takes us to it. Squash is going to take the lead on this one because I kind of fought for this. So I think it's only fair. Though I will, Squash will definitely give Laffian a meaningful glance of like, hey, if I fuck up, you're here to like help me, right?
Buddy.
Like,
he mouths the word sympathy at you.
Aww.
Okay. It's a good one.
He winks at you.
A good one.
You can approach the temple. As soon as you place like a first foot upon the first step up to this open temple, the two beings turn their head and there's looking at almost like an audible like crunch as they turn. You can see all these kind of like spider webs just like falling off of them. You see these small creatures like way bigger than a spider should be just like scurrying off and away in a different direction. They just turn to look at you and they both have bright blue flaming blue eyes.
Like literally fires in their eye sockets or?
Yep.
My favorite.
They're not like when Demi's body fires over, you still see the eye and the iris and all that shit. No. This is just fire. This is fire in the socket. It still blink. I don't want to make them that creepy.
I was picturing like straight up just like skulls.
Mm. No. Their faces are quite drawn and they're very old and they have a very like leather beaten look to their skin. They're not like fragile in any sense. They're just old.
Squash is gonna just do a little like greetings. I hope I'm not imposing.
Please take a seat. The one with the long beard just gestures to the kind of the empty places at this table.
Squash is gonna sit his ass down. I guess the real question here is the rest of the team waiting on the outside of the temple or are you guys joining me?
No, I'm joining. I'm not leaving you alone for that shit.
Thank you.
Yeah, same.
I'm very scared. I don't want to be in here alone. We're not doing this individually. Okay. Are you crazy? No.
Rawl runs up one of the pillars and is just like clinging to the ceiling.
Rawl's been in there for like 10 minutes.
With the spies, like, I'm not going
down there. Out in there.
Hester also joins you, the horses and the donkey wait outside.
Welcome
to our table.
We appreciate you having us.
Raw waves.
Let me find the patron list because no doubt somebody should ask.
I was thinking the next move is names, yeah.
It's so annoying. There's like an old comic I used to read, which had four main characters, and the name of the comic is so cute in Icelandic, but I don't know what it's called in English. And every time I want to introduce the four of us, I want to say "Hinfjörgur Freiknu," but it doesn't make any sense. But I so want to do it because I don't know.
You want to say what now?
Basically the name of the team or the comic was something like the four clever ones, basically. I think.
Okay.
And I just, every time, because I always find it a little bit awkward to go, I'm Squash, that's Laffian, that's Rao, that's Sultana. I always find it awkward because we're introducing ourselves to the audience for the 500,000th time. So I always want to like make it quicker and funnier, and like my brain always goes there, and I have nothing else to replace it with. I've never thought of a funny name for our team that isn't a reference to that comic.
We should have just name that. Badges, like little name
just tags. Just have them sewn into your shirt.
The yeah. Fruity Four.
That way, we don't have to do that.
Anyway, sorry, I was just mumbling while V was looking up names.
Yeah, I found it.
Welcome to our table. Please let us not dine amongst strangers. Who do we have the honor, the great honor of talking with? Who dare braves our food and our drink?
I'm Squash, and these are my friends.
And you see both of them like twist and turn their head looking at you.
Sorry, that's the name I usually go by.
My given name is Don Connolly. And Squash kind of like timidly tilts his head. But you may call me by whichever you prefer. Sorry, it did not mean any disrespect. It's just yeah, and these are my traveling companions.
Laffy and Atherty, a pleasure.
Sultana Thunderhot?
I am Raljak. Hello. I'm just a Ral, this is fine.
We have met before, when they both nod at him.
Wait,
what?
Hold on.
Wait.
Yeah, Hester's here. He's met them before. They just
okay.
Him.
Oh, that after no. Rawl spoke, okay. And I was like, wait, hold the fuck on.
I thought you meant Rawl, and I was so confused. I was like, wait a minute.
I thought I knew these people.
No, you have to. You have to. The price is that Rawl has to describe their interactions. Do you not fucking remember us, Rawl?
Rage.
We took history together for 4 years, Rawl.
Are these guys retired specters?
I sat behind you in algebra.
That's what they are. They're retired specters, obviously. That's why they knew Rawl. Makes sense.
They're Rawl's original specter who got fired because he didn't fucking die.
And what is this? You failed again. Oh, for goodness sake. We've never had to fire a single person, but I guess you're the first. To oblivion you go. No, that's just not, that's not the thing. The one that has been speaking with you, the one with the long beard, says,
a pleasure to meet all of you. I am Skylax. This is my friend, Whitechester.
Care to spell those for us?
No.
Fine. Care to spell it for the people listening at home?
That's so valid of you. Never spell your name for anyone. Make them guess.
I apologize. Welster. My bad. I read the C and the H in there. So Welster is Welster from Gentle Potato. Yay. And the other one is Skylax, Skylax, and that comes from Gentle Chap.
What did you say? So we have Skylax and what?
Welster.
Welster. So we have Hester and Welster.
Yes. Welster with a D-R, not an R.
Okay, sorry. Welster.
I didn't hear a difference in anything you just said.
If you think I'm going to remember any of those names.
Well, I'm trying to.
Please, enjoy our food.
And as they wave their hand, you see that as Skylax waves their hand through the air, that the table seems to just reveal, as if someone's pulling back a cloth, this kind of exorbitant meal. There is like meats and cheeses and hams, and there are wine, and there's water on the table, there's beer, there's plenty of vegetables, and what even looks like a green salad. Like, just wave their hand in front of you and this all appears.
Why is this the scariest thing ever?
is there like a proper like a table, not a tablecloth, yeah, I guess like a napkin that I can, you know, got to put it on the lap or...
Yeah. Let's just do this whole hog of making Rawl terrified.
Are the rotting things still on the table?
On their plates, yes, but not in front of you.
Okay, okay, okay.
So there's like a small debris of like crumbs and mold and shit on theirs. But in front of the five of you, a luxurious meal is laid. You can see that there are knives and forks of many different types appearing on the table. You can see there's like the little like small table that you have next to a small plate next to your bigger plate, what appears for like the breads and whatever it is you have. There's like the napkin that's been folded into a swan sitting on top of your plate.
And there's that's 10 sets of cutleries going from the outer edge to the inner edge of the plate.
As is proper.
And Rall is staring at Hester with, like, huge eyes, like,
His eye kind of, as he looks, like, very, like, composed, and as he looks back at you and you look kind of worried about him, like, you see his eye just go a little bit wide, and he's like, a tiny, tiny shrug of his shoulders, and then reverts back into unreadable.
Yeah, they said, go to Soviet, basically, like,
yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead and eat.
Yeah, yeah. Squash is gonna quickly grab whatever looks the most, like, flamboyant, most, like, eye-catching.
Probably the green salad.
Yeah.
In all this kind of, like, dark stone that's all around you, the green salad is, like, the brightest thing around. There aren't any desserts. It's just all main course, sorry.
And I'm going to very quietly, very undercoverly, I'm going to just kind of, like, before I eat it, I'm smelling it, I'm trying to make sure that this is, like, there's no spell effects on it or poison or anything like that. Like,
I'm going to need an investigation check, my friend.
Investigation?
Yep.
Right.
This is not people food. They made this happen. They pulled this out of thin air. Everything they own is rotting. This is not real. You were mad for putting this near your face.
I rolled a 23 on an investigation.
They don't know we're alive, maybe.
The food is very real. But as you kind of, like, put your fork into, like, let's say, like, a tomato or something, you realize that it's not, like, it doesn't have the right texture to it. And you notice as you kind of lift it up that there is a thin sheen of something on it that's kind of, like, maybe a purple hue. That's all you really get. You got 23, right?
Yeah.
You suspect that all of this food has been tainted with something physical. It's not a magical effect.
Yeah, Squash is gonna, like, basically just put the bowl of salad back on the plate and just the single fork of tomato on his plate and just like, we have some specific dietary needs within the group. You wouldn't be offended if we provided ourselves, would you? And Squash is definitely giving them a little look of, like, I've already seen through your bullshit. Don't make me say it out loud.
Make a persuasion roll.
No! I'm bad at... persuasion. Yeah, that's gonna be fucking terrible. Yeah, it's a 12.
A 12?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course. Many apologies. And you see the other in the table, the one that has not spoken yet, you see that she snaps her fingers and all the food in front of you just completely disappears, including the wine, the water, and the beer, which Hester was reaching for the beer to at least examine.
Oh, no. Why would you make Hester?
Looks at you angrily. Where's my beer? Fuck. No, he doesn't do that. He just... Yeah.
Yeah, Squash is just going to bring out, like, rations that we got and display it on the table as a goodwill gesture of, I'm willing to have food with you guys, but I know there was something fucky with the food you gave us. Like,
So, why do you come to the Loughton? What favors do you ask of us?
Well, we're traveling and we're in a bit of a hurry. So we were told that there were powerful people here who may be able to assist us with our travels. For a price, of course.
My love, do we look like purveyors of horses? I think that would be Hester's job, wouldn't it?
You just see him, like, kind of lift his shoulders and gesture to the animals behind and says, I have already provided them with as much assistance as I can. We would not be here if we were not in need of additional help.
What if you were to be using us for such a mundane task? What do you have to offer? Where do you wish to go? How quickly do you wish to get there? Because we can animate your body to just keep walking, no rest required.
No, we need our bodies. We need the speed to be time to be quick, and we need our bodies to be whole, or as whole as they can be. So any such measures would be most unkind. I think that's a good phrasing.
To put it straightforward, we need to be getting to the vortex with as much haste as possible.
Oh, that is exceptionally easy. And you see the woman who has yet to speak, she just pulls out from her kind of like within her robes, this kind of very old potion that is like covered in scratches and is very difficult to see through. You can see that it is magically inclined and there is something whirring within the substance within.
I should probably clarify, we're not looking to go into the vortex so much as we're looking to interact with the community near it.
Ah, you see, my great love was just going to offer you death.
This is why I tried to clarify myself. Apologies for the the mismeasured words.
Kind of need to be made aware of all these things, but I understand. You are not of this place.
How much do you wish to know? How much can I clarify?
I take it that you are all alive, with the exception of Hester, of course.
That is correct.
Yes.
We're here on a very important mission, if that matters to you at all.
It does not. You see him, like, lean forward, and he looks each of you in the eyes, and he says,
not only are you not dead, you have never died.
Yeah, I suppose we really haven't. I mean, we've had a few brushes very close, but...
I got sent to Cicero and placed in the same place that the dead get placed, if that counts.
You fell
alive, of course.
You fell for a trap. That's a bit different.
The traps basically sent me alive to death. Like, I don't know how to describe it differently. It killed me, but didn't actually reduce my body to a crumble.
The irony of the...
Please, I'm sure that the aim did not mean to kill you. You were simply put in bed. Cicero, it's not the same.
Suspended for future encounters.
Exactly. Put on ice until needed further.
Correct.
Yes. Yes. I just iced you. It's fine.
No, we have friends who have passed away and actually been brought back, some of them.
By most standards, that is not okay. But alas, it is not pertinent to your particular line of inquiry, is it?
Right.
To the vortex you wish to go without dying.
Correct. If you have some means of teleportation near to, or perhaps just making it so we can get there faster without...
Please, the great love of my life could send you there in a simple heartbeat if you wished.
I was under the impression that hearts do not beat here, except for the living.
Her heart can beat if she so wished. She feels my heart next to her, and I feel her next to mine.
Are you two... a pair in that such a way. Soulmates.
I have that with my wife.
My
wife. I can feel her heart.
Then you understand the love that exists between her and I. Not your wife, my wife.
Yeah, I was going to be like, I don't know if you met my... I mean...
I tell you what. How about you give me something of worth? Other than Neil dying on his chair.
He does that quite often. He'll be fine. Just let him breathe.
He'll breathe so through it.
Fucking stupid.
It was a terrible joke, Neil. And I hate you for saying it before me.
I feel like I missed why Neil is laughing so hard.
I just looked up and Neil was like, four.
No, it's because the way you said my wife was literally
stopped.
Like Borat.
You just
like,
stopped.
My wife. She's very nice.
So I assumed you got cut off or like it didn't click in at the right time. So I was waiting for the next part of the sentence or I was trying to figure it out. And my brain kept going, Borat jokes, Borat jokes. And I was like, no brain, we're being serious here. And then Neil just, my wife. Like, okay, I can't be serious.
I've never watched that movie.
Guys, this is a very serious podcast. We can't be laughing and having fun.
I was doing my
gut step. The end of the world is here. Be serious, guys. Do you remember when this show was a horror podcast? Do you remember that?
No.
I don't.
No. Oh my God. When was it a horror podcast? I missed that.
I tried making it episode one, but y'all fucked with it and then... As soon as Zoltana tried to hide a shiv in her butt crack, I knew this was going to be our podcast.
I was wondering if you were going to find an example super early on, and you did. You sure did.
He throws his arms kind of wide, and he says... I tell you what, give me something of value that each of you has.
I give him my ring of dark vision.
No, you can't.
I need everything I have, Arch. I don't know what to tell you. You want to look at my character sheet and find a better bargain, go for it, but I don't have shit.
He reaches over and he kind of like he extends his hand and you see a spectral hand just fly forward as it reaches over and picks it up and he kind of gives you half of an embarrassed smile as he says, "Please take no offense, but if you are handing me a cursed item, I do not wish to touch it with my bare hands." Thank you. And you see him like usher his hand back towards him. And he turns over this ring of dark vision. As far as I remember, Neil, this isn't cursed, right?
No. No. The
as far as
I
remember,
that I have, that
this
I
is just your
Aima.
Bog standard ring of dark vision, right?
Yes. The eyeball that you gave me is...
That was cursed.
That's cursed. But yeah. I think Aima has that. Rock gave it to Aima.
Yes, you gave her like, oh, hey, honey, here's an eye. And she was like, gross.
Well...
You guys are gonna hate me, but I'm gonna give it my boots of elvish kind because they don't fucking do anything. Like, every time we sneak, they don't do shit for me because I have such a bad disadvantage. So I'm just gonna give these guys my boots of elvish kind.
To be fair, I think your sneak is like plus one or two, right? It's like really low.
It's really bad. They don't do anything. My sneak's always bad. I always ruin the sneaking time, even with the boots of elvish kind. So I'm just going to give them to them because they are monetarily worth value.
We don't have like a lot of things. We just have a lot of important things.
Yes. The things you have are important. Like, none of them are wasted or frivolous.
I'm just going to reach down to my feet and take off my shoes.
You can see that, Wellster... Oh, my God. Better. Wellster, she kind of gets up from her chair. And as she stands, like, this cascade of dust just begins to fall off her. And every step she takes, like, more dust gets thrown up into the air. And she reaches down as she picks up the boots. and she looks and turns them over with her hands. And you can see that as she's doing that, her old, her skin is just absolutely coated in runes. There's probably not much of her body other than her face that isn't coated in magic. And you see that she kicks off her own, like, really small slippers and she slides on the elven boots and she does the thing what we would recognize as the three clicks from The Wizard of Oz. She just seems happy and she goes and sits down.
They are a little bit sweaty. I haven't worked in them for a while. But the nice thing is, because they used, you're not going to have to wear them in. They're not going to give you no blisters.
We do not travel too much outside of this temple, but she appreciates the thought.
Squash is like looking at the ground around where she got up, but I'm assuming they're like a dust footprint from where she walked. It's just like,
yeah, yes,
that bitch has gotten up.
And then there's like the trail where like her dress is like just scraping across the floor, dragging across the floor. So yeah, this is one big track mark over to where Zoltana was and back again.
Squash is gonna look at them and ask, are you, when you say something of value, are you asking for my value or are you asking of useful value?
He puts his elbows on the table and he like rests his head, rests his chin on his hands and he says,
surprise me. What do you think I mean?
Well, my friends have provided you with exceptionally useful items, and you seem to have been more than happy to take those, so I'm assuming that's what you want, but I wouldn't want to impose upon you. So, here you go. Squash, like, reaches over, and he brings out a quiver with 18 bolts in them, and he puts it on the table. These are magical bolts that my friend Zoltana made for me. I've been saving them for a dangerous encounter. They were made at the Forge of Worlds after we fought a Demigorgon for access to it. That has physical use and physical value. On the other hand, and Squash reaches into a tiny little pocket on the inside of his cloak and he brings out a little lipstick and puts it on the table. This is a lipstick from the realm of... It is the last thing I have from there. Has a lot of sentimental value to me. It's the last item I have from there. It's where I had what I thought was at least a real chat with my dad. It's where my parents approved of my more adventuring proclivities, or things I have to do. Things changed a little bit. And yeah, so these are the two items you can... I don't know. What do you want?
Take a persuasion roll for me.
Persuasion roll. 19.
He sends his spectral hand out and he takes the bolts and he pulls them to him. You see another spectral hand go out and pick up the lipstick and he sees them. As he's turning them over in his hands, he's kind of eyeing them up and looking at you and looking back to them.
Do you know what this lipstick is?
No, it's literally just a memorabilia, I think is the word I'm looking for.
Okay.
And he literally just slides it back along the table to you and it kind of like stops and like clatters against your plate.
The belts will suffice.
Thank you. I don't know if you were doing me a favor or if you're being mean, but thank you. Squash puts it away.
I can make more use of these bolts. Although my beautiful lady would like the lipstick, I think it has more value to you right now. Although maybe one day we'll come for it. Maybe.
And you see him like twist the bolts around his fingers and they will just one by one disappear.
I'm sorry, Zoltana. I know you put effort into that.
I was waiting to shoot those in Dayton's face. I've been sitting on them. I've been every single encounter. I've looked at those goddamn bolts and thought to myself, plus one to hit, plus one to damage.
Save today is not the
Squash.
Day.
Nope. I genuinely did not remember that I made those for you. So you're okay. You're good, bud.
I'm all tough for you. He looks over at Laffian.
So you're looking for things of more monetary value, it seems to me, then. Unless...
He kind of like half smiles.
Unless you're just looking for things that would be of more use to you as a whole, in which case I have reading material that I definitely did not borrow without asking from my brother. That, may or may not be of interest to you. I'll let you decide.
Are you going to give them the book? That I
yes.
Think you're going to...
He pulls out the three books that were in Pintor's bedroom. He just lays the three out on the table, and if they're not to your liking, I understand. I will bargain with something else if that is the case. But I figure if I was in a place like this, some reading material might be of good use.
Alas, my good lady has read most of these already.
Another person of good taste, I see.
Yes. Page 83 is her favorite on this book, and he uses his spectral hands to tap on one of the books.
I feel bad for him. It sounds like his lady has talked about these books like...
That's why they're sitting at the opposite end of the table now. He's like, I'm done with this. Love my life, but I'm done with this shit.
You talked about romantic novels for three centuries. I'm sitting on the other side of the table now.
All right, then. Well, in that case, then, he'll put them away and... Let's see. I've got some fine elvish wine. I've got a magical dagger. Either of those two pique your interest? He'll pull both out and put them on the table.
Tell me about this dagger.
It just hits a little better than a regular dagger. Does a little bit more damage to people. If I recall correctly, we actually acquired it on our journeys a very long time ago, back near the start, actually. I've been holding on to this one for a very long time.
Why?
Laffian actually kind of looks a little awkward for a moment, and it's one among a few other things that I've been holding on to, just memories of the journeys that we've had together. Our adventure as a group is very likely coming to an end soon. For good or for ill, I know not, but I like having these little things that I can one day, hopefully in the future, just be able to look on and remember. I've got a little clover trinket. I've got a monocle. There's a lot of things.
Monocle, you stole that.
It was a good memory. That was a very good episode.
That was very funny. Yeah, roll a persuasion check for me.
Sure. 25. Oh, wait. No, I have my focus thing. Oh, God, that got boosted.
It's more than what I'd ever roll against. That's fine. He sends his spectral hand kind of like walking across the table and it pulls the dagger back towards him. And he just takes it deftly in one hand, spins his wrist, and it completely disappears. He says, that should seem sufficient.
Very well. If you would like one of the bottles of wine for yourself, though, please, I've got plenty.
We have our own sustenance here. But thank you for the offer.
Generosity given is generosity earned.
Hester reaches into a side bag. And he pulls out this
really old, faded scrap of cloth. And he puts it on the table in front of the Lautin. And he says, this has a fair amount of protection on it. It moves in the way of arrows and bolts, be they magical or otherwise. It was made for me many years ago by somebody I cared a great deal about when I first lost my eye. I wish to travel with them, and I will offer whatever services you need to make sure my horses, they stay alive and protected in your temple. Whatever you ask for when we return, it will be yours to have. You see Skylax reach out and pick up the cloth, and again, very quickly, it wraps around his wrist and then disappears. The lady stands up. She steps upon her chair and then stands upon the table. She walks across, very carefully avoiding where any of the place settings are, stepping over the candelabra in the center. She points down with one hand at the candles, and they ignite in this blue flame. And you see her lift her hand, and she goes through this almost musical melody as she waves her hand through the air. As it gets closer to you, you hear the music rise, and when it goes far away from you, it quietens. And you see what forms in front of her on the tabletop itself is what looks like this dark edges of cracked wood. And in the very center, you see this swirling mist of green and blue. We cannot help you come back. Our powers do not reach that far. But this will get you to just outside the portal, the vortex. And we shall keep your horses safe for now. But hurry back, Esther. My patience with you has grown thin. What do you guys want to do?
Is this like a standing wooshy thing or like a on the table wooshy thing?
It's on the table. She's basically floating above whatever shenanigans she has cast on this table.
So we have to jump into the...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I think I speak for all of us when I say thank you for your hospitality. It's most appreciated. And for the sake of all existence, wish us luck. And Laughing's going to stand up.
Hester does the same.
Squash just gets up, climbs onto the table, if I'm understanding correctly.
Yeah, as soon as you like put your hand or your foot or anything onto this table, you kind of like half fall through it. You realize that there is nothing beneath you.
Please be... patient with the horses. Hester did not choose to come here. He did it for us. I understand that doesn't mean much, but just he did not intend to intrude. That was our choice.
Swan dive.
We shall bear that in mind.
That's all
yeah,
I ask.
Yeah, you can swan dive into it. You can carefully climb over the edge and drop yourself into it. You can like take a running jump and a cannonball into it. You may do whatever you like, and the physics of you coming out the other side of this will deal with the beginning of the next episode.
Hi everyone, Ral here. Thank you for listening. Big thanks to patrons Baylor Frost. Thank you so much for your support. We appreciate you. And thanks to patrons Gentle Chap for the name Skylax and the patron Gentle Potato for the name Welster. If you would like to find more information about any of our shows, you can find information and links to other things we are involved in at blighthouse.studio. Thank you so much again for listening. We hope to see you next episode. Bye-bye.
Need a new campaign idea for your tabletop role-playing game?
Looking to improve your GMing skills or become a better player?
Curious about exploring the origins of your favorite races, classes, and creatures?
Then check out the Maniculum podcast, where we show you how to use medieval history to your advantage. We're your hosts, Mac and Zoe, a professional medievalist and a AAA game developer, and together we use modern game design techniques to uncover the origins of your favorite tropes and adventures from medieval manuscripts. In each episode, we explore a new medieval manuscript, its connections to modern TTRPGs, and teach you how to adapt these tales into compelling campaigns and amazing adventures.
Whether you're looking to recreate the noble Arthurian tales or incorporate weird and wacky medieval monsters into your campaign, the Maniculum Podcast has you covered.
Listen to our fortnightly podcast for free on iTunes, Spotify, or your preferred podcasting app now.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.